Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So Brad, a couple weeks ago we were talking about the PhotoPass studios and how Disney has three different like actual studios where you can go and get more, I guess, more personal, professional photos taken by your PhotoPass photographer, and it is included in Memory Maker magically. And for Halloween at the Disney Springs location, which is the one with the green screen, they will have some special backdrops for you to use.
Yeah, some of these backdrops are interesting, like the one that's of basically a, or not basically, of a Main Street with nobody on it.
Mm-hmm.
And all, you know, with Halloween colors and everything, or out in front of the Haunted Mansion. These are really cool. Like, I don't know. I keep being pulled in multiple directions because I'm like, would I want to go all the way out to Disney Springs just to take some pictures? But these could be some really fun pictures to take, and it would just require going out to Disney Springs, and it doesn't cost anything extra other than my time.
Yeah, I continue to be amazed that this is included in Memory Maker, especially as they add, you know, more and more things, because this is going to be popular, and they could make money off of this, and Disney is not usually one to leave money on the table, and they have not raised the price of Memory Maker, nor have they, you know, are they charging separately for this, so I think it's awesome. I mean, this is a huge value add. And again, I will say, especially if you have kids.
Well, and the one thing that I found interesting about this most recent, other than seeing the new photos and being like, okay, all these other new photos are cool, they make me want to go do the green screen all the more, is they answered one other question I had about this, which is, it says reservations are not required to visit the studio, and if you have Memory Maker or Memory Maker One Day photos capture here are part of your entitlement. Because I was kind of wondering if I was going to need to get Memory Maker, the full package, to get this. Because I thought, well, that could be the one gotcha, right? Is we'll let you do it, but only if you get the full blast Memory Maker. If you get the, like, the one day kind of becomes the silver, the Memory Maker is the gold package. And, like, I would completely understand them doing that. And I think the last time that we looked at this, all that I read was it's included with Memory Maker. But now they have clarified Memory Maker One Day includes it, which, like you said, still seems like a really, really good value for the money. And I may be headed to Disney Springs that day, along with everything else we're going to try to get done. Should be fun.
Last week, we had a discussion about the Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster in Epcot, and I basically just wanted to, I listened to that episode this morning and I had a lot of thoughts, and basically I think I'm partially right. I think that roller coaster is going to have trouble with moving quickly and pointing you at things, but I think probably what will happen is the same thing that Guardians of the Galaxy in DCA does, the old Tower of Terror, where basically, you'll have a bit of roller coaster and see there will be set pieces and stuff like that, much like Rock and Roller Coaster, where things will be lit up for you to look at. And then there will be areas where you stop or move very slowly and are turned to look at something before being turned back forward and being launched again. Because I can...
it is a backwards launch, so that would make sense.
It is. And I can imagine a narrative of that ride where you're flying in a ship and there are sometimes where you need to stop and speak to someone or look at something, and then, whoa, guys, we got to go and get going quickly and launch again. You know, basically, you know, have maybe two or three other launches in the attraction. I feel like they can do the whole like roller coaster with dark ride elements, but I'm still very very excited for this, you know, non-traditional roller coaster that they're building.
But probably not to the you're basically saying not to the extent that Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, where they stop you,
right,
take you through a dark ride section and then continue on about the roller coaster. It's going to be more abrupt than that.
I think so. I think it's going to be like a yes. I think it's going to be shorter dark ride elements than Seven Dwarfs, because Seven Dwarfs is like over a minute. I would say it's just as much dark ride time wise. It's just as much dark ride as it is roller coaster, because you're really kind of cruising through that dark ride pretty slow. I think this is going to be more of a roller coaster with times where you're going to hit a brake run and either move very slowly or be stopped for a second, you know, maybe 10, 15 seconds while some narration plays or you are interacting with an animatronic character or something before you are launched again. As if your ship, you know, had to get going because, oh my gosh, they're right behind us or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see, but I trust Disney to do it, and
me too.
And I think it's going to trend much more roller coastery than what Seven Dwarfs Mine Train does. But we'll see when it's all launched. And speaking of changes coming to Epcot, there was one news story that I saw come out that I did want to touch on just briefly. Blog Mickey was covering this along with a couple of other outlets I saw it at, but Disney did a water ceremony of some sort at the Fountain of Nations before they emptied the fountain, where they took two of the vessels from the... So for those of you who... because I think I've talked about this a couple of times. Those of you who don't know or haven't heard about this, when the Fountain of Nations was first started, delegates from each of the countries actually showed up and poured water from their country into the Fountain of Nations as part of an all-one-world gesture or something to that effect, which I don't know. I get that it's water. It's all been gone for a long time through evaporation, all that stuff, but It's just a cool thing that they took the time to do, and apparently they took two of the vessels that were used from that the Disney archives had. They went out and took some of the water from the Fountain of Nations in those vessels, and then that water is going to be put back in to one of the new water features that's coming after the Epcot revamp. You know, what, Epcot 2020 or 2022, whenever that actually gets done. And I'm really happy to hear that Disney thought it was important enough to take the time to do something like that.
Yeah. And to give it a little, like, make it ceremonial by using the original vessels instead of just, you know, telling people, like, hey, we moved some of that water over here.
Right. And at the end of the day, that Disney would acknowledge it, I really wouldn't have cared if they had gone and gotten, you know, two used water bottles and filled it up with Fountain of Nations water. Like,
Dasani.
I still would have appreciated that. You know, they could have gotten some of the cool new bottles from Galaxy's Edge, right? But that they took the extra step to actually go get the vessels and everything. I don't know. I heard that and it made me a little bit more hopeful that Epcot isn't changing entirely, because as we've discussed ad nauseum so many times, I'm definitely all over the map when it comes to that. We'll see what we see when the project is done. But hearing about things like this, I do understand, you know, I'm sure some people will tell me it's just lip service, and that could be what it is. But I appreciate that they're taking the time to at least think about these things.
As I hear more and more about what they're doing in Epcot for this 50th anniversary celebration, and not only that, I mean, it's going to open, you know, around the 50th, but just how the new stuff they're doing in Epcot, the more and more I hear about it, the more I like it. I think this is going to be a good change.
Well, whatever change it is, they'll still have Fountain of Nations water, so it's got that going for it, which is nice.
So the Skyliners finally have a date, an opening date. I don't know that we've talked about them having an opening date yet.
I totally thought that we did.
Disney has, you know, they released a video about the Skyliners, and kind of as a, they called it, there's magic in the air. But it's basically
everywhere you look around. Oh, sorry.
It's basically just an ad for the Skyliners. But I thought it was interesting because I'm very excited for these Skyliners. But the video does show one thing that I've been curious about, and that's during load and unload, are the vehicles stopped? And the answer seems to be no. They move very slowly, but they do not fully stop when you load and unload. And obviously they can, you know, if you're in a wheelchair or whatever, you have crutches, stuff like that, you know, they'll obviously need to stop. But it looks like the standard operating procedure is going to be to just slow way, way, way down and have you step off, and then it'll move, you know, up to the load platform and vice versa.
Yeah, and it also looks like that the, so they have to, they're moving past this thing, and the step out that's needed to allow for the transition is attached to the vehicle itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the video, you know, they show somebody putting a stroller on there and just walking straight on with the stroller and not having to like mind the gap essentially.
Right.
When they go to get on, and then even pushing a stroller off, kind of the same situation, just pushing it straight off. So yeah, it was interesting to see that, because we have gone kind of back and forth on that, I think. Like you said, they're still going to have a way of getting wheelchairs and things like that. So nobody needs to be worried about that. But yeah, it's more video. And it's actually video of the Skyliner in action and views that you will be seeing from the Skyliner, because it's actually video taken from inside the cabins.
Yeah, there was a view of the back of the Tower of Terror that I was like, wow, you know, this. I wonder how much thought and effort was put into like sight lines from this thing.
We heard
a lot about when they were doing the buses, where you could get on that bus and go from the back of the park. I don't remember what that was called.
Oh, that short-lived like fast bus service or whatever it was.
Yeah, the express bus or something.
There you go.
But about like people seeing cast members smoking because the buses went behind the, you know, backstage to get you to and from the areas of the park where you could be picked up and dropped off, and you, that people would see, you know, cast members on break and Mickey with the head off and stuff like that, you know? And so I wonder how much effort was put into like preserving sight lines, because when you're this far up in the air and this close to parks, I mean, the station for Hollywood Studios is right outside Hollywood Studios. So I don't know. There's going to be some interesting, not issues necessarily, but there's going to be some interesting, I think, you know, things that can be seen from the air that maybe weren't initially designed to be seen from the air.
My guess is, like, given what these are, and this, you know, that express bus line was clearly a short term, let's see if this is something people are interested in, because they never even had like permanent bus stops or anything for it.
Right. It was just and
I fully
boards.
Yeah, I fully believe that if it had taken off, they'd had enough people sign up for it, and it became a permanent part, they would have rethought all of that and they would have made that work. You know, it's kind of like the tour down into the Utilidors in the Magic Kingdom. There's a part of the Utilidors that's really, really nice. You know what part the tour goes in? It's the part of the Utilidors that looks really, really nice. And the rest of them, you know, there's no part that's like scary or anything, but, you know, maybe there's some parts that are a little, you know, that trash system isn't always perfect. And so you might see a little something on the wall here or there. So I definitely think they've taken those into account. Now, that said, yes, we're going to see photos and possibly videos of, you know, things where the magic is breaking down or whatever from these Skyliners. I don't doubt that, because if you have a zoom lens and you're looking hard enough for it, you probably will be able to find something. But I think that Disney has thought this through to the extent that someone who's just on vacation and just taking in the sights isn't going to see something that isn't going to come across something that's going to totally break the magic in most cases.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be okay. I just
there's probably a lot of stuff that had to get repainted and roofs were added. Roofs? I don't know.
Roofs.
I've never thought about the plural of I, or at least not right now.
Well, because you only got one.
That's
you only
right.
have one roof.
I only need the one. But yes, those were probably added where needed. Yeah, there was a lot that went in. Ooh, and then I'm sure they put up some. You know, some of like the mesh in some areas or something.
And I heard a rumor that the next place that they're going to go with the Skyliner is Disney Springs. And immediately when I heard that, I was like, yeah, duh. Like that would be one. It's the longest bus ride, isn't it? You know, if you're going, the parks are pretty much in the same area, and then Springs is quite a ways out, and so that would make the most sense to me, because you know it if you could take the Skyliner, even though you're going a little slower, it's probably still quicker to take a Skyliner out than try to take a bus. And two, since it's such a longer trip, that would actually be a pretty cool Skyliner trip, because you would get to, you know, basically float above the freeway as you traveled to Disney Springs.
Well, I mean, you float alongside it, right? Not
yeah, no, well, yes, obviously you wouldn't be directly above.
Well,
and
actually pretty far. I doubt that. Well, no, as you got close, you would be able to see it, I guess.
But I just think it would be cool and kind of an interesting POV to get to Springs.
So I'm as we're talking about this, I'm actually looking at the map here. And one thing that's interesting to me is if you went from Caribbean Beach, which we would, I think we would assume that's where you would leave from, right?
Mm-hmm.
To go to Disney Springs, short of, and we know that they're capable of turns and things like that. But if you took the most direct route from point A to point B, you would be going directly over Typhoon Lagoon.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So I think there's definitely some stuff that could work with this. And while the saying that it's the longest trip to some extent kind of depends on what resort you're staying at.
Well, yeah,
you know, 'cause like,
but it feels like, at least when you're on the bus, Springs is the most out of the way.
So it goes an entirely different way than what most everything else goes. And it also tends to, I feel like, because of the traffic and stuff, because there's so many stoplights, it mm-hmm. feels like it takes forever. Because, yeah, like Pop Century to Disney Springs actually is not very far, especially compared to something like Pop Century to Magic Kingdom. But Magic Kingdom doesn't feel as frustrating because most of the time you're going, versus when you're headed to Disney Springs, it's just so much stop and go. At least that is my personal opinion, because I do agree with you that I feel that way when going to Disney Springs. So yes, I would love for it to go to Disney Springs, and that would make a lot of sense, because just from a like technical standpoint, having this sucker go from Caribbean Beach out to Magic Kingdom is going to be rough. In fact, I would not be surprised if Magic Kingdom is the, if it ever gets added, is the very last thing that they would add to the Skyliner. I would expect Disney Springs could get, you know, again, all based on popularity, folks, but Disney Springs could be added, and then I could see Animal Kingdom getting added.
I would think it would be Springs and then the TTC, because if you go to the TTC, you have direct service to Epcot, which is, I know Epcot's already on the Skyliner, but you've got direct service there. You've got direct service to the Magic Kingdom, which you can then get on the resort loop and go to the other resorts. I feel like the TTC buys you a lot of convenience, especially if you're coming from another, like, and I don't know, you know, where on the line it would be, but I think the TTC buys you just more convenience based on, you know, the monorail service that it has. It's kind of the midpoint of the monorail stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see that. I think Animal Kingdom might end up there first. And again, everybody, we are definitely going like blue sky at this point, because it would have to take off very, very well, I think, for them to consider these sort of additions. But, you know, the TTC is almost another like 3/4 of a mile away as the crow flies from Caribbean Beach versus Animal Kingdom. And it's probably what, to there versus like Epcot, hits 3 times as long to just go to Animal Kingdom. And so almost 4 times as long to go to the TTC. That actually starts turning into a long time to be in the deal with no way to communicate with. I don't know. I don't know that they'd ever make one that long.
I don't know, because you're on the bus for sometimes like 20 minutes.
Yeah, you know? But then it comes down to, if the bus breaks down, they just send another bus and get you off and throw you on another bus. I don't know what this looks like. I think that definitely Disney Springs actually I would really enjoy it, because once again, I get really frustrated at the stop and go of trying to go to Disney Springs, even since they've added the you know, after they redid the road, which took forever, and added that bus lane down the middle. It's still you still have to stop at the lights, and there's still crazy people doing, like, there's still guests who suddenly decide that they're going to drive in the bus lane for a little while. I feel like every time I've gone out there. So I would love having that freedom. And also, because depending on the time of day, and this is definitely with anything, but to me, it feels worse about Disney Springs. If it's like midday or something, it feels like it takes forever for the bus to come for Disney Springs. And maybe I'm just horrible about picking when I'm going to leave for Disney Springs. But
no, it always feels like it's the lesser stop, or the lesser bus, I guess. And lesser meaning like scheduling wise. But no, I totally agree with you on that one.
Yeah, it feels like, well, we'll get them there eventually, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a pretty major change, I think, because just looking at the way that everything is kind of laid out right now, there's not anything directionally that's laid out with the Caribbean Beach to go out that way, I don't think, yet. But really, now that they've got the main building built, what does it take for them to add that kind of stuff on? Probably not a lot, right?
I have no idea. I am so out of my depth when it comes to, like, when I look at the, even just the little building for the turn it makes. It's, I don't even understand how that works.
Well, I just, like, you can kind of look at it and see, like, direct shots to each spot.
It would be cool if the Caribbean Beach, which is the, you know, big hub,
right?
If that ended up like looking like an asterisk almost, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Where every
shooting out to all the different directions.
Mm-hmm. That would look pretty cool. It's very exciting. Honestly, that's one of the things I'm most excited about on this trip, is using the Skyliner, and I hope that it makes a meaningful difference, you know, in our trip, and if nothing else, just as a fun way to travel, you know, because the buses are very, 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 very convenient and wonderful, but they're not that fun. So I just hope at the very least the Skyliner is a super fun way to get from A to B.
Yeah, and that's and to some extent that's enough, right? Like.
Mm-hmm.
For it to just be fun, new, and interesting.
Functional.
No. Just no. You know, I guess the only other thing is, like, I am actually sitting here like a nerd on Google Maps measuring distances between the different, like, turns and things like that. Nothing is over about 1.2 kilometers, I think, is the longest run that they have. And so what's interesting to me is, looking at this, I see a way where you could have gone straight from the Caribbean Beach to the United Kingdom, right? Now, I guess it's possible that they just wanted to make sure they hit the Riviera, and that's why it goes the way that it goes. Or it's possible that that was too long of a run. But if you wanted to do maybe the same thing over to Disney Springs, You're talking about like 1.5 kilometers just to get to Typhoon Lagoon. And that doesn't even get you all the way there. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't, without knowing for sure how this all is supposed to, you know, what if any limitations are there distance wise? And I do realize that they can put as many pillars up, but I just wonder if there's something where you don't want to send somebody over a certain trip without having them hit some building where you have the ability to evacuate and have some control over things. Maybe, you know, just kind of checkpoints even could be a limitation. Again, I don't feel like to Disney Springs, but some of those longer runs, that could be interesting. I guess it's gotta be popular where it's going first, but at the same time, like, I just don't see how this isn't going to be super popular.
I agree. I think it's going to be great. And I think everybody's going
to
love
it. It's mass transit, and it gives you a whole new way to see the parks, and you don't have to sit in traffic. I mean, that's checking all the boxes for me.
And you get to ride above the traffic and look at the traffic, but not be caught in it. And that makes you feel good.
Just get to fly in the sky.
Well, I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.